From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Pop Rat, boys and girls. With a very exciting week, and I've got new toys, and I promise I won't talk about them. Well, I might later. In this week's show, from the lovely, glorious Tatry region of Slovakia, in the town of Poprad, it's me, Eric Wiltshire, that is, and over on the zit of the nose of Europe, sounding incredibly butch, and having travelled to Luton, and we'll find out a bit about that later, is none other than Lee Banks.
That's me. I'm here.
I know you are. Yeah, I can't miss you now. You're too busy.
All right, I'll just help in. I'll just let make it up. Yeah, I tell you what, can I just say something very quick about last week's show?
What?
Oh, we did a special, didn't we? It was a bit strange. A bit different. We forgot to mark Sir Elton John's 64th birthday last Friday. I'd just like to mark it. Because you can imagine all those candles on his cake. I bet it took a big puff to blow those out.
are you telling me that was a candle in the wind?
Yeah!
and the other voice giggling already from Gay Perry is Mark Ender.
Yes, well, hello from Grey Perry, actually.
Grey Perry.
Oh, God.
Anyway, in this week's show, we'll be finding out why Lee went to Luton a bit later on, as he spoke to some people. God knows why they spoke to him. We'll be looking at the latest from Libya, the completely senseless census in the UK, which today they are advertising the fact if you haven't done your form, you could get a fine for it.
Yeah,
fabulous.
Fine.
Absolutely marvellous. Roles are reversed in the EU as Microsoft takes Google to the complaints procedure. We'll be looking at a website that gave you a virus. Marvellous. Top Gear are in hot water again, as usual. Not really, I don't think. And also, how come a dog, I think was Parisian, has gone to America and it ended up with guns? It can only happen in America. It has to be. And how a Brit has caused a stir in the US by winning a pageant competition. Well, that just goes to show. Lee's put together a nice list of the best April Fools of all time, which we might get to if we have. Did anybody play an April Fool on you? Fortunately, they don't do that so much here in Slovakia. So
I'm playing one on you now because it's not me.
Anyway, sad news to start off with. A couple of sad news bits, actually. I watched a documentary on this guy not that long ago, and it has to be said he's one of the gurus of the haulage industry in the form of Eddie Stobart, just 56 years old, has died.
Terrible. Absolutely. He's been hauled away.
And
to die at 56, I mean, how young and how tragic.
Can you say that last the bit before? What did you say? How young?
How young?
The only thing is, Eric, you're older than him.
Not yet.
There's one thing about Eddie Stobart, because I'm not, as we all know privately, I'm not the greatest respecter of the Lurie Empire in Britain.
No, you're not.
But Eddie Stobart himself was actually what you could class as a good haulier. And if people will notice, his drivers still wear shirts and ties and jackets.
They do.
And
exactly.
They're upholding a good old-fashioned English tradition.
And what's more, they cart Formula One cars around as well.
Do they really?
Yeah.
I used to think that the advertising, they had a great...
What?
What?
One at a time, please, girls.
Like I was speaking then.
You were. Sorry, the sound quality is so poor at the moment that I couldn't tell.
But it was rubbish. It wasn't even the same. So carry on, Mark.
Well, I was just going to say that I remember their wonderful advertising campaign where they were just... it was sort of digital, and you just had the words sort of lorry going along, or car, and this sort of thing. And it was Eddie Stobart, Stobart. And it was brilliant, absolutely wonderful.
That's what it was. Eddie Stobart, even though he was a wagon driver, mm-hmm. was actually brilliant. And he sold out, didn't he?
Everything sort of moved around, and then Stobart Trucking became all very incredibly technical, run by satellite systems and all sorts. Very, very clever. But anyway, sad to hear Eddie Stobart's died at 56, and he's always got to get him in somewhere, hasn't he?
Well, no, this is a real thing. This is a real tragedy. Uh-huh. Uncle Bob, his Royal Bobness, right? Uh-huh. Was seen in, surprisingly in a way, in a synagogue in, I think it was New York, Right. Where it appears apparently he was paying his respects to one of the most iconic figures of the 1960s, Susie Rotello.
Who?
Susie Rotello.
Who?
Do you remember?
Who?
Do you
remember? Iconic figures?
Yes, that's what I mean. You Philistine, we're talking about Susie Rotello now, who's dead. We have to be nice about Eddie Stobart.
Well, because he's iconic.
She's not as iconic as Susie Rotello.
I'm sure everybody...
I don't even know who that is.
Neither do I.
That's it, because you're all Philistines and you won't let me tell you.
I frankly have lost the will to live already.
Susie, do you remember, everybody in the world over the age of 3 will remember this, Bob Dylan's first album, Freewheeling Bob Dylan.
Never heard of it.
Yeah.
Second album, actually. And that beautiful picture on the front of him walking down the streets of New York, a back street in New York, with a young lady linked to his arm, and they're both looking beautiful and friendly. Everybody remembers it. The girl in that picture was Susie Rotello, and she died.
Yeah.
She died.
Is there a joke?
She died. Hey?
Is there a JPEG of her?
A JPEG?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, actually, no. That part of the beauty of Susie Rotello.
I remember Susie Rotello. I'm looking at a picture right now on the computer.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes. Thank you. You have a look as well, Mr. Eric.
No.
Yeah. She. The one thing special about her, she was the first Bob Dylan's first love. He adored her. He wrote Boots of Spanish Leather for her. Lonesome Farewell. Dozens of songs he wrote to her. It was a tragic love affair.
I don't know any of them.
And she died 67 years old of lung cancer.
Yeah, that's right.
Sad as well.
She never cashed in on her fame being linked to Bob Dylan. The only film she ever appeared in was Martin Scorsese's No Direction Home, where she talked lovingly about the man that she lost when she was 20. Now she's dead. It's a tragedy. It's the end of an era.
I'll tell you that is so interesting, and thank you so much. Really, I'm really, really moved by that.
Oh, I've got some more I can tell you about it. Then.
No. We've got modern things to talk about in the programme, thank goodness for that. Have you got messages this week, then?
I did, but I've left them at home. I haven't got them with me. I'll do them next week, everybody. Everybody who sent me a message, they all know who they are. I'm really sorry. I forgot.
Right. And just before I forget, on the Facebook page, our Tom, who listens to the programme, has been helping me out a little bit, and he's put questions up on the Facebook page. So you can pass your comments now directly onto the Facebook page. How cool is that? Blimey. Which reminds me, we've got to say hi to Talk Radio, X Replay Radio, everybody on Audio Boom, Facebook, and, of course, the lovely people on RTI FM. Nice to have you with us. Libyan Latest, which is getting, well, it's almost becoming satirical almost. Yesterday, the Slovak foreign minister offered Mr. Gaddafi asylum in Slovakia.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, now that's interesting. Because
Very strange move.
He could have come onto the programme then.
Interestingly.
I'll try him. I'll get him on the programme.
I'm sure you would. Interestingly, the Libyan lot went to London to try and negotiate with them there.
Yes.
So I don't think that's kind of going to work out then, is it?
I can't see that being a very good move at all.
No, me neither. But such is life, that's what's going on. I'm pleased to say there's one thing that is good out of Libya at the moment, and knowing the press the way the press are positively negative, the good news is normal civilians seem to be staying out of the limelight in Libya, which is really good. And the other interesting thing is the Arab world actually joining in with this amazing coalition to actually tell him, oi, come on, mate, time to go.
Well, the thing is, don't forget that he said he'll go.
Well, where's he going to go to? Nobody wants him.
Well, no, nobody wants him, but somebody will have him because he's a rich, rich man.
He's going to go. I realised he'd actually said that.
He said all the way along, hang on, I'll go. Give me a bit of time and I'll go. And he's also said recently but the problem is now, the problem we have over there, and this is, we are, there's no doubt about it, Britain has gone to war again, and we are in a full-blown war where his army, Gaddafi's army, are now actually making inroads.
No, but they've lost it again this morning. They've lost the ground.
They'll have it again this afternoon.
And the fact
they're
is...
used to fighting like Saddam's troops were. They know what they're doing.
The thing with Gaddafi is, he said he would step down but doesn't want to leave his country. And the trouble with that is, 99% of the people in the country don't want him.
Well, that's right.
I think there's no way that he can stay there, is there?
No.
There is a way that that could be negotiated rather than just go around shooting everybody.
Yeah, if he jumped off a cliff into the sea, that'd be negotiating out, wouldn't it?
Well, exactly, yeah. Anything but not this terrible bloodshed.
Well, no, and it has to be said, it's his fault anyway.
Of course it is. Nobody's denying it.
No.
But it's the paucity of the situation where, I know, a lot of people have said it, but it is perfectly true. A month ago, we were there doing arms deals with him. Now, we turned on a sixpence against him. Now, we are right to turn against him. Nobody's defending him. But what I'm saying is, what paucity has this of our leaders got to do this kind of thing?
I think you'll find they stopped the arms sales a bit quicker than that.
They were there a month ago doing it. They were there doing it.
They didn't do it there a month ago.
Doesn't matter whether they did it or not. They went on to do it.
Well, you know, listen, I think the most important thing is that, we're busy there destroying all his arms, destroying all his arsenals and this sort of thing. What a lot of business for us again when it all finishes.
Correct, Armando.
Rubbing my hands with glee.
Lots of oil for us to rip off the country.
Oh, here we go. Anyway, on to some other stupidity, and I will tell you a story about this. If you're in the UK and you have not filled in your census form, you are breaking the law and can be fined for it, which is just beyond... I can't understand that. In what's supposed to be, you know, the Western civilised world where you have to fill in a form for a government. Now, that smacks right. of communism to me.
It smacks of everything that Libya wants. They want this kind of democracy that we have over here. Well, I tell you what, you're welcome to it.
Yeah. Well, actually, the rules, if I've got it right, and I'm having to say this from the last census, not this one, the rules of the game were, it was the people that were in the property at the time of the form being done at the right time and right day and everything else. That's what you did. So what I did, because I was really miffed about it, and I won't tell you what, I was just really miffed with the whole census thing. Not because I don't like sharing information or as we do here, we walk around with ID cards, so I have no problem with any of that. It's just the absolutely stupid way that the forms are constructed, and that's what annoyed me.
Absolutely.
I phoned up the census people and said, oh, we're having a census party. And the bloke said, what? So we're having a census party, mate. On the day that we're supposed to fill this in, we're having a party. All the streets come into my house. So I reckon you owe me about several hundred forms. Can you send them? And he said, don't be stupid. And I said, excuse me? What do you mean I'm stupid? I am having a party in my back garden. There'll be hundreds of people here. So technically, they all live here. He said, well, that's ridiculous, sir. I said, it's not at all ridiculous. And by the way, that question on page something other, it says, if I want to put some additional things in, I've got to have a form for it. He said, that's right. I said, can you send me 100 of those as well then? And he went, you're joking. So I said, no, I'm very serious.
Is this an April Fool?
No.
Brilliant. I am so proud to know you.
And I eventually got 100 extra bits of paper and 100 census forms. I don't live there anymore, so... And I just sent them all back. Sorry, wrong day. And God knows what happened to them all. But I was so incensed by the way that the
form... Incensed?
Yeah, I was incensed. Because, you know, I'm not... In Slovakia, I'm ethnic. In England, I ain't ethnic. And that annoyed me.
You're a minority, aren't you?
You're indigenous.
In the UK, exactly. You're a proper professional writer and know all the proper grammar like what
you're
I do.
You're an aboriginal in England.
Yeah, probably. And I argued I wasn't ethnic, I was indigenous. The bloke said, you can't be indigenous, you're ethnic. I went, no, I'm not. And so that's why all the rows about it.
When I filled my form in. On a day when I was supposed to not do it anyway, because I thought, why am I going to do it on that day? And it says, fill in every question. Then you come to, this is the truth, question 17C, which just says, this question is left deliberately blank. Well, how'd you answer that?
What?
How'd you answer that?
Oh, I don't know.
It doesn't even sound like a question. I haven't completed my census form because I'm not in the country at all.
No,
I haven't had one. But it's just that for people, for instance, in America or elsewhere in the world who are listening, maybe they ought to understand that every 10 years on the year beginning with 1, so 2011, 2021, and so forth, everybody in the country receives a census form which they're required to fill in.
By law.
I suppose let the authorities know a little bit more about the way that the
Mark, will you sit still with your microphone?
Yeah. Stop moving in your chair.
Thank you. Anyway, I'd just like to add at this point, for anybody that's considering visiting the UK on holiday, normally, for 99.999 reoccurring, England is not that stupid. It's just when budgets to do census things are around that they go completely mad cow again.
Can I tell them what the most stupid thing is that the census people have done?
No, go on then.
Right. This is the truth. There's no lie about this. Right. The census people sent a parking meter at Dorset's Moors Valley Country Park a form. Right.
Oh, wonderful.
Right. Now, the form, the machine can't fill it in. So, potentially, they're going to have to fine a parking meter £1,000.
Yeah, there you are. What goes around comes around.
Yeah, absolutely.
Listen to what they say. This is what the census people have said.
Right.
On balance, it is more important for the accuracy of the census that we count all residents, so we always err on the side of safety and send forms to all properties. It's a parking meter.
You're just being a Jobsworth, Lee. You're just being a Jobsworth.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wonder what that Jobsworth, I tell you, yeah.
You sure there's not BSc in England at the minute?
I hope to try and find it, man. That'll be a good story.
Anyway, Microsoft are taking Google to the EU thingy about anti-competitiveness. The software maker Google has used its dominant position in the search market, claims Mr. Microsoft. Well, actually, I don't agree with that anymore.
Don't you?
No.
Why?
Because if you take the UK as a good example, there's more people that use, say, Facebook now than ever before in the UK. And the search tool, if you want to put in search when you're in Facebook and you search, what's the search engine?
Don't know.
Bing.
Bing, my bingaling.
I always use Google. But I mean, you know, this is interesting, isn't it, really? Because I mean, normally speaking, it's Microsoft, which quite rightly is accused of non-competitive practices. So it's very interesting to see it sort of come around. But the other thing is that
you're doing it again. You're moving.
I am. Yeah. I'm very sorry. I've got this swivel chair and it's...
Yes, and we can hear
swivels. Stop swiveling.
The new sound equipment is just too good. Did you hear it go bing?
Every sound engineer is going nuts at the minute.
But I understand recently that Google was saying that Bing were mucking around with their results, because part of what they were doing was exploring or mining, I think, Google's data and trying in some way to replicate Google's own results.
Not a chance.
Yes.
I think that
Google discovered this because they put some deliberately erroneous data and then found that Bing was actually retrieving it.
Well, I think the problem with that, and you are still moving about, sit still.
Yes, I keep still.
The truth is, if you look at the results from Bing and Google, they are significantly different. Now, they might have done a little bit of a setup and a bit of fun, but the truth is, if you look at the two algorithms that the two companies use, they are significantly different. That's a fact.
Why is it called Bing?
I don't know. You'd have to ask Microsoft.
But it's
Bing is meant to be Bing, I've got it.
Mean like with a Microsoft software where it goes Bing?
Bing.
Well, I think Bing is just sort of a sense of achievement and victory, and it's sort of an exclaim, Bing.
So when we get to the end of the program, I can go
it's
Bing.
Like the light bulb going off in your head.
Yeah. Bing.
You've got the right answer. Bing.
Oh my
Bing.
God! Government website is giving people viruses. Says Lee. Really?
I haven't said it.
Who said it then?
I forgot who it was. I think it was the Telegraph said it. Yeah, no, I think there's not a lot to it, but when you think, right, the government have got this website that they're backing, which is designed to champion UK startup businesses.
Do you know what I'm going to do, Lee?
What?
I'm going to go and check it.
check it if you want. Why are you telling me? Are you trying to make it out that I'm making it up?
No, but I'm questioning that there's no technology in newspapers, so I'll check it myself.
Right, Startup Britain, right? This, go to it, have a look while we're doing it. It's called Startup Britain, which was launched this Monday, right? And do you think
He loves saying right today, doesn't he? Have you noticed
right,
that?
Yeah, right, yeah. Well, Mancunian people in Mancunian land say right all the time, right.
Right. Do you think we should explain to the listeners that Mancunian is somebody who comes from Manchester?
Oh, well, they're north of... Hang on. They have to get a passport, don't they? Yeah, I think so. Anyway, we'll check this out, Mr. Banks.
Why, you don't trust it, then? You don't believe it's true?
Well, if it's from a newspaper, bearing in mind the last time that we had one of these was that Nana from another newspaper that I've flamed like mad on my my own blog and my own website and my own Twitter feed, my own Facebook page, blah, blah, because she wrote some complete dribble which defies the laws of physics. Therefore, I'm going to keep checking them. Right? Happy?
Anyway, so Startup Britain, right?
I thought we'd finished.
I was hoping for it. Let's move on because we're running out of time in part one already. A driver has survived a 230-mile-an-hour crash in his Corvette.
An hour Chevrolet Corvette, 230 miles an hour. How did he manage to get it up to that speed? I had one. I couldn't get 10 out of it because he ran out of petrol.
Well, yeah, up to about a mile. Yeah, I can understand that.
230 miles an hour in a Chevrolet Corvette. The man must be mad.
I mean, I love American cars. I genuinely do. And if I had a choice, I'd have an American car. But
I would.
And it would definitely be a muscle car like a Mustang.
Would you have a Hummer?
No. I'd have a Mustang.
I'd have a Hummer. What would you have, Mark?
Well, I've actually got an MGB, which I converted with a 3.5-litre injected engine in it.
An American car?
No, it's an English car, an English classic car, which I probably wrecked by putting this V8 engine in it. And I tell you, I'm so sorry about it, because I changed this wonderful, docile, enjoyable motor car into just a bloodthirsty, a petrol-thirsty monster that was scarcely drivable if you weren't completely on the straight. It was the worst piece of vandalism I've ever done.
But they had some of them did have V8s in them.
That's right. They put them in the MGB GTs.
That's right, yeah.
But this is an MGB Roadster, which were never...
They never had a V8 in them.
Fuel
injected V8. It certainly gave people a shock because it looked like just an ordinary MGB, and it could outbox Boxsters, and it was shocking. But it's undrivable.
Have you got the wire wheels on it?
In the end, I put 17-inch Saab...
What, like on a bicycle?
No, idiot. Oh, you are such a heathen.
I'm an idiot.
You can't
put wire wheels on something with that kind of acceleration because the spokes just end up falling apart.
Yeah, it would do, wouldn't it? Because the brake horsepower's too high, isn't it?
I used to have a Triumph Stag with a V12 in it.
Wow, that's quite unusual, isn't
it? It's April the 1st.
Oh, right.
Well, it is when we're doing the programme, that's for sure. Still to come in part two, we'll be looking at how Top Gear have got into trouble yet again. I can't believe this. Someone's nicked Jeremy Clarkson's fence.
Yeah, they have.
Mr. Alf Fayed burnt his royal plumes.
Mm-hmm. I think that's disgusting, man.
I know. Some prats in a well. And we'll also be looking at how the police lost some charity ducks. It can only happen in America. And also, don't forget, we've still got to come. Those top 10 April Fool's jokes. Yeah, right. And next up, Lee was off to Luton last week. And being as he's a bit of an old, old being the operative word, a bit of an old, I was going to say whinger, but I suspect... The better word is journalist. I have hurt to say that, but never mind. and Lee went off to the, what was it, the Icon Hotel?
The Icon Hotel, yes. It's the Icon. One that everybody saw on TV a few months ago.
It was, wasn't it, apparently? Yeah.
And I just thought it was so lovely that we should have a chat about it.
So anyway, Lee's next up, talking to the guys at the Icon Hotel. And what was it? Is it a Bijou Hotel, did you say?
It's got... No, but having said that word bijou, now you completely put me off. I can't remember what it is. Boutique.
A boutique. A boutique.
But it's a real, you know, boutique hotels have got this sort of reputation for it being a bit sort of down, well, not down market, but looking a bit rough, a bit shabby. Okay.
Anyway, it's Lee up next, after that the break, and we'll be back in part two. Faster than you can make a milkshake, eat a Big Mac, or have a sensible fruit juice.
RTI.
Well, I'm here at the Icon Hotel in Luton. And I have to say, what a wonderful hotel this is. It's startling in its imagination and charm. With me is James Stockwell, who's duty manager at the hotel. And I'd like to ask you, James, what exactly is a boutique hotel?
Icon Hotel, which is a boutique hotel, is individually styled. No expense has been spared. We are not part of a chain. Everything is chosen directly for the hotel. Everything matches the colours, everything.
Who actually designed it, the hotel, and who actually dressed it? Because it's very unusual, isn't it? Who actually had the imagination to do this?
The hotel's owned by Franco and Leffi, who acquired the buildings, which were a Chamber of Commerce and Zurich Insurance office buildings that weren't joined and had been vacant for 10 years. They acquired them in March 2009 and decided to make a hotel out of them and joint the buildings together. And it was Franco and Leffi that designed all the interiors throughout, bedrooms, restaurant, everything.
Excellent, because it's a fabulous job. Like the piano that you can probably hear playing in the background, that's a wonderful thing, but it has a ghost piano player, doesn't it?
It's the invisible piano player, yes. It plays itself. And also it can be played as well, and we do have pianists from time to time come in and play music for us.
What sort of clientele do you actually get here? What sort of people use this hotel?
Everybody uses this hotel. We have a lot of locals that come in just for dinner, but we also have a lot of international clientele fly in. Luton Airport's not that far away from us, it's about a 10-minute drive. But we're far enough away from the airport, so it's nice and quiet. We do get a lot of pilots and that stay here because of the quietness. It's away from the hotel. Yeah. Sorry, it's away from the airport. So it's just nice.
What makes this hotel special? Because it is special.
Well, all the staff here are very friendly, which I'm sure you would agree.
Yeah.
It's personal. It's a personal touch. There's nothing that's too much trouble for us to make get our guests stay as comfortable as can be.
And whose decision was it to, like, one of my favourite hotels in the world is the Midland Hotel in Manchester, which is a traditional upmarket hotel, and it's friendly, but the staff are slightly standoffish in a sort of very friendly way. And where here, your staff are not overtly friendly, but you can have a laugh with them, you talk to them, we can sit down and have a drink and everything. Whose decision was it to make that?
I think it's the management's decision. I mean, I do it naturally anyway. To do this business, you learn to read people very quickly. You can see who wants to have a laugh and a joke and, you know, make it more friendly. Or alternatively, there's some people that don't. They want the formal professional touch. We're always professional, but to make it friendly makes it more welcoming. People want to come back because that you get to know the staff, we get to know the guests and what they like, what they don't like, what they require. And then we just build up a rapport, and it helps, it makes the guests more comfortable and the staff more comfortable.
That's excellent, James. Thank you. I'll tell you what, give us your web address.
It's www.iconhotelluton.com.
From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.